You are co-founder of the Woodstock Film Festival, which is happening this weekend, October 13th through the 16th, over there in Woodstock, as well as Rhinebeck and where?
Rosendale, Saugerties, Kingston. It's a big Hudson Valley affair.
There you go. And with us in the studio, we also have Lisa Thomas and Margot Pelletier to talk about their film Thirsty. So this is really exciting. I really, really am excited about the Woodstock Film Festival. Can you just tell us a little bit about it, how it started, and what you're thinking is going to happen this weekend?
Okay. Well, first of all, hello, Margot, and hello, Lisa.
Hello.
How
hey,
are you? I can't
hey,
wait to
Mira.
See you guys Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
The Woodstock Film Festival is happening. I mean, this is going to be its 17th year. Sometimes it's hard for me to believe that so much time has passed, but it always feels fresh and new because each film brings with it a new crop of films and filmmakers and ideas and creativities from all over the country and the world, as well as right here in the Hudson Valley. So like you said, we're going to be showing films in Rosendale and Saugerties and Rhinebeck and Woodstock, and our award ceremony will be held in Kingston at Backstage Studio Productions. The film Thursday, which I'm very excited about, is going to be showing in a special venue. It's called Staff, and it's a giant space. So there's a lot of room for a lot of people to come, and everyone who's going to come is in for a special treat, because they're not going to just see a really great, fabulous, and happening film with tremendous energy and color, but the main character of the film, Thirsty, who is truly bigger than life kind of performer, is going to be there in person, and he's going to perform, and then there's going to be an awesome party afterwards, so you get a lot in this just one event. And you will be celebrating it with two really great female directors and producers who I'm very thrilled are part of the festival. And I just want to add a little something special about the film. It's special for me, at least, and that is that I was privy to the beginning of the film when Lisa and Margot were just writing it and developing it, because few years back, they have participated in the workshop that the Woodstock Film Festival presented, and we discussed the film in depth at the time. That was a few years ago. So it gives me great pleasure to see it come to fruition and bring it to the Woodstock Film Festival in just a few days.
Oh, and it gives us great pleasure to have it be screened there.
That's really good. I'm just going to interrupt, sorry, here one more time and just say that the film you're referring to, Thirsty, is at SPAF, which is also the Saugerties Performing Arts Factory. And it's this Friday at 7 p.m. And the film is Thirsty, with the main character, Thirsty Burlington, a.k.a. Scott Townsend, will be present also for a Q&A afterwards. Is that correct?
Yes.
And
yeah,
there's
going to be a filmmaker Q&A. Some of the crew will be there, like our director of photography, Sean Green, who's from the area, Lex Gray, who's our production designer. She's also going to be heading up a band that's going to be backing Thirsty. Some of the other cast members, Keith Leonard, who's from Ulster County, will be part of the Q&A. So there's going to be a lot of people up there to ask questions to.
That is awesome. Yeah. And while I still have you, Mira, just if you could just talk about how the film festival started, when you started it, and is it just because you love to throw a giant party over the weekend, or how did you get into it? This sounds fantastic.
Party really did not work into the equation, actually, when the whole thing began, and also, honestly, the crazy level and amount of work did not come into the equation at the time either. It was the love of film and the love of the community and bringing it all together. And it began, the first festival began in 2000, And I personally used to work for other film festivals prior to that, so I really got to experience and see the power of film festivals and film to both the community where they are at and to the participating filmmakers. And I was so inspired by those festivals when I used to work them, but not nearly as hard as I do now. And I saw how inspired the audience members were and how it was good for the filmmakers because of the networking opportunities and the learning experience and the just this exchange, this this cultural and thoughtful exchange between among the filmmakers themselves and between the filmmakers and the audience members. It's unique. There's nothing like it, and filmmakers are hungry for that, and you know, audience members and film and art lovers are hungry for that. So it's really great. I find it to be an amazing gift. If I did not work so hard, believe me, I would just go from one film to another and enjoy it because I find it to be just so wonderful. And you know, it comes once, and those you will probably never get to see those films with those filmmakers live in a venue. So it's really a rare opportunity. And because the Woodstock Film Festival is so casual and friendly and not too large, you get to interact with the filmmakers, you get to meet them at the theater, you get to meet them in the street, you get to know them. And it's a gift. And so, I mean, I find it a gift for everyone, for the filmmakers, for myself, for the audience members. So I think it's a pretty amazing thing.
And Miera, you guys also do workshops and things that people can attend as well, correct?
Yes. Every year we hold about 8 to 10 panels. This year we have incredible panels. They're very diverse. And I'm actually very proud that out of the 8 panels that we hold, 4 of them feature specifically women in film. And you know, the subject of gender equality in the entertainment and the film industry world is very close to my heart. And it just so happened that the panels got populated so much by female directors, actors, producers, and those who work. And so they're great. There's a panel about, you know, that just features women in film and television. Another one is about actors. Another about the intersection between film and music, and there will be live performance as part of that panel. Another is a little bit out of the box because it is about feminism in the Middle East, and it stems from a specific film that we're showing. So another one is just documentary filmmaking and storytelling. So, and the other one is about producers. And and also there's a great masterclass that Kathleen Hardwick, who did the Twilight franchise, which is a giant franchise, but she also began her directorial career with a small but incredibly successful film 13, which was really an excellent independent film. So Kathleen is giving a masterclass about, you know, she calls it fix it in prep, which means usually you say fix it in the editing.
Right.
Well, she says fix it before you even start shooting.
Right.
Fix it when you begin to plan the film. So it's a chock full of really great educational and entertaining conversations, and like everything at the Woodstock Film Festival, it's very it's very interactive with the audience, and because it's so casual, audience members get to really stick with the panelists, not just during the panel, but they often spill outside into the street afterwards in the conversation, where the conversations continue. So,
yeah, that's true. I mean, we've spoken to some of the panelists in the past. I know when Margot and I have attended the panels, so I wish I could clone myself and make it to everything, but hopefully I can make it out to a number of the events during the festival.
Right.
Yeah. So, and hopefully you'll be able to make it to Thirsty. I know you have to be everywhere at all times too, Miera, but hopefully.
It's on my schedule. Planning on it. I'm coming to visit. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Truly amazing what you're doing over there. It sounds like you maybe need 2 weeks to do all of this. It's really packed in. It's
amazing.
Oh, my
God. Then you have to scrape me off the floor.
Yeah. Well, right now it's scheduled for the 13th through the 16th at multiple venues all over the Hudson Valley, the Woodstock Film Festival. Miera Blaustein, we really appreciate all the work you're doing for that, and I wish you the best of luck this weekend.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to have had a chance to get on your show and to speak on it with Lisa and Margot. And ladies, I'll see you in just a few days.
All right.
Okay,
see you
wonderful.
Friday.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, that is Miera Blaustein calling in from Woodstock, I believe it is, from the 679 number, Woodstock Film Festival happening. And this, I believe, Friday at 7 p.m. is your film, Thirsty.
That's right.
And I am really honored to have not one, but two creators of this movie, director, producer. I don't know. I guess, Margot, are you the director?
Yes.
Okay, the director.
And the co-writer.
Director and co-writer, and Lisa Thomas.
I produced the film.
The film.
Yep. I tried to find some other producers, but nobody would jump off the cliff with me.
Okay. Well,
so
I bet it's totally worth it. So would you maybe just talk a little bit about the movie? And this is based on the story, the true story of Scott Townsend, otherwise known as Thirsty Burlington, who does stage acts such as in doing impressions of Cher.
Right.
Among other things, and basically telling that story, and like, just tell us about it.
Okay, it's a pretty intense story. We're characterizing the film as a post-queer musical biopic, and it is based on significant events in Scott Townsend's, also known as Thirsty Burlington's, life. It's a period piece. It begins with him at the age of 11, and it goes to present time. He's in his 40s now. So we actually have employed three people to be Scott. We have a young Scott, a middle Scott, and then Scott Townsend plays himself from about the 30s to the 40s. It goes into his very difficult childhood, where he is persecuted for being very effeminate, also living in a tough neighborhood in a much blinder time in the 70s with his mom, who has addiction problems, and how he eventually begins to exploit his femininity instead of running from it and becomes a very popular Cher impersonator, which also has its ups and downs. You know how the past has a way of catching up to us. But we insisted, and it wasn't hard to do, that our film end on an upbeat note. So we do think it's very inspiring. There are some tough times, but the film is nicely balanced, I think, with moments of lightheartedness, kind of zaniness, musical and dance numbers. It is a full adventure until Scott realizes that the emptiness he feels is not from rejection from the outside world, but from his own need to embrace everything that he is. So it goes full circle.
And it's a musical. So if you happen to be a fan of musicals, which I am, then you're in for a real treat, because it sort of starts off in the first couple minutes with a big musical number in the courtyard scene. And I could have like maybe done a few more musical numbers, because I never get enough of them. But We have some like surprise little acts that happen throughout the film that kind of keep people on their toes, because I don't think everyone knows when they're going to see it that that's going to be a musical, and it's like pretty rare for an indie film to sort of take that on. So that's one of the things I'm most proud of. So we have, obviously, since Thirsty's a Cher impersonator, we have some Cher tunes. So if you're a Cher fan, it's up anybody that's a big Cher fan's alley. But then we have a lot of original numbers. One track in particular, which is the theme song called All That I Am, that's getting a lot of play and on iTunes right now. That's sort of the theme song for Thirsty. And then Chris Anderson also composed a lot of great original music for the film. So we have a lot of original music, but then a lot of Cher tunes and some other popular songs from the 70s kind of era.
That theme song, All That I Am, is written by Nikki Egan. Yeah, a really wonderful young songwriter and performer.
Out of Brooklyn, who went to Berklee School of Music, and she's going to be at the party, the after party, performing the theme song with Thirsty. So it's like a rare treat to see the two of them perform it live. I don't think they've never done it before together live, right?
No.
Just on film, which doesn't really count as live.
Right. And Scott Townsend himself will be there. And
Scott won't be there.
Thirsty
will be there.
Oh, man, you got me. Lisa, you got me. Scott Townsend will not be there. Thirsty Burlington.
That's right.
Will be present at the film, and we'll be asking for the party after, for the after party, because Thirsty's kind of a after party kind of
Thirsty girl, is Thirsty person. Thirsty is the after party everywhere we go, always.
So what is Thirsty like? Is it just totally fun to hang out with, and is this going to be a good night or what?
Thirsty's a blast.
He actually is a blast. He's very dear, very warm-hearted. He's also kind of a bundle of contradictions. When he is in male clothing, he's very shy and kind of just a spectator. When he is in female clothing, he is the it girl. He is the center of attention. He can't get enough of it. He breaks into song. He's just a whole nother side of him herself.
We were just in London for the film's European premiere, like about a week ago. And when Scott gets dressed up as Thirsty, and you go out, like down to the hotel lobby and like try to get out into the street to get a cab or whatever, everybody everywhere you go wants a photo, because they're like, oh my gosh, this is Cher, what's going on? And like everybody just runs up to Thirsty and like, can I have a selfie? Can I have a photo? So it's sort of like everywhere you go, it's a little mini mob scene with Thirsty. So I have a feeling there'll be a lot of people with their cell phones in Thirsty's face on Friday night.
Some trying paparazzi.
Little selfies here and there, but everywhere Thirsty goes, it's like, I want an autograph, I want a photo. So it's like that.
Yeah. The overarching theme of the movie is gender. And Scott has a fluid gender, and we really wanted to make a movie about somebody that was exploring that, the full potential of his gender and soul, and not unhappy at all about it, does it very gracefully and with a lot of joy. So Lisa, myself, and the co-writer, Laura Kelber, made great effort to imbue the film with a lot of important themes that surround gender, gender identity, the pinching in and categorizing of gender, the repercussions when one believes in themselves and lets that show and is everything that they are. There's just an awful lot of some subtle and some very blatant messages that will hopefully bring out a lot of conversation about gender and where our culture's going with it right now, because we're definitely in a new time.
It's a new era.
A new era where people are exploring their gender and not necessarily feeling the need to label it and not getting persecuted for it as much. So it's a very exciting time. I think it's really ripe for this film.
So yeah, that was kind of the impetus for Margot wanting to do the movie and to explore Scott's life, to touch on some of those issues. But we're not being preachy in the film about them. It's sort of like in a fun, sort of lighthearted way. We kind of like talk about some of the difficult things that happen in Scott's life, but then it breaks into a song or something. And then it's like, oh, okay, I can kind of digest that heavy moment where, you know, somebody just bullied Scott or whatever the scene may be. We really balance out sort of some tough issues with like more lighthearted ones to keep people engaged.
Yeah, because it's a real civil rights thing too. Like these days in this political climate, I mean, you have like these remnants of this crazy hyper-conservatism in this country that, you know, we've struggled with racism and interracial marriage, for example. And we're finally, I think, getting over the hump a little bit where things like interracial marriage, however, racism is, as we've been seeing in the news, is still very much alive. But the question of gender and gay marriage and whatever is just like right at the forefront of a civil rights modern political question. And it's like we still have a lot of humps to overcome. So I guess this film, maybe not directly addressing it as a political civil rights film, however, what you're doing is a cultural offering to the public. I don't know, maybe you want to talk about that a little bit, how his life inherently, you know, I'm sure he's experienced like crazy discrimination in the past, but still to have fun every day doing what you do and being who you are,
right?
That's pretty impressive.
And his ultimate goal is to bring joy into people's lives. That was one of the things that we really felt from the very first time we saw him perform. He emanates an enormous warmth that, you know, you can feel, you can laugh, you can cry with him, you can be very nostalgic with him. And it's a real fun trip to watch him perform. Yeah.
One of the things too that was important for us was we wanted to end this film on an upbeat note, because so many films that deal with gay stories end in tragedy, whether somebody dies of AIDS or they're killed, like in Boys Don't Cry. You know, there are always these sort of like awful.
Brokeback Mountain.
Somebody dies, and you know, it's just like your heart's ripped out of your chest, and you're like, why are all these like gay stories always just ending in tragedy? So for us, it was really important that we put a film out there that could be uplifting, that people from the community can look at and champion and say, yeah, hey, you know what? We can end out on top for once. You know, that's like a good message, you know, to have. So that was important that we end the film in that way.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about the other actors in the film because they do a tremendous job. Deidre Lovejoy, whom some of you may know from The Wire, plays Scott's mother in a riveting
performance. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. So I wanted people to know that, because I think to see the range that actress has in this movie is really remarkable. And the young Scott, Cole Canzano, does a very good job too, playing across from her in very difficult moments. So I wanted to mention him. And then our middle Scott, Johnny Beauchamp, has actually become incredibly popular. He sort of took over Stonewall. He wasn't supposed to be the lead, but his performance is so amazing. He steals the show in Stonewall.
And a lot of people saw him recently in Penny Dreadful. I guess last season of Penny Dreadful, he was one of the main reasons people tuned in. So, you know, one of our neighbors, I don't know if she's on, it's actually Deb Samuel's birthday today, but Deb, happy birthday, Deb, if you're listening. But she called me on the phone the other day. She's like, oh, I just read in the paper that Johnny Beauchamp is in your movie. Was he in my house? Because we filmed one of the scenes in the movie in her house when she was in Berlin like a couple years back. And I was like, no, Johnny wasn't in your house. She's like, was he in your house? I'm like, yes, he was in our house. We filmed the Halloween party scene there. And so she was starstruck with the fact that Johnny Beauchamp was in the film, and is he coming to Woodstock? You know, this kind of thing. So it was really, Yeah.
And they are coming to Woodstock.
There's a bunch of people.
Many of them, right?
Yeah. I don't know if Johnny's going to make it because he's out in L.A., but he could surprise us. He's like that.
He's very spontaneous.
He could just appear.
The L.A. October surprise there. Yeah. But right now you have the two of you, Margot Pelletier and Lisa Thomas, along with Thirsty Burlington. And then you listed here you have Q&A participants Keith Leonard, Sean Green, Lex Gray, and Tim Bruno on the list. Is that still correct?
Yeah, all of them and maybe more. Maybe more. There's definitely going to be other surprises. People will just. We've put the word out to some other folks. Deidre Lovejoy potentially could come. She's New York-based, but I know she's busy with the Blacklist these days, so we don't know her schedule. But the little girl, Melina Weissman, who's been on Supergirl, is kind of the flashback Supergirl character, potentially might appear, fly in from her set. So I don't know. We'll have to see.
For sure, Keith Leonard will be
Keith
there.
Leonard is, he plays Scott's father in the movie, and he lives in Ulster County. So he's definitely going to be there. Lex Gray, our production designer, will be there, and Tim Bruno, our art director, and Sean Green, our director of photography.
Hopefully Heidi Phillips, who plays Scott's stepmother.
Heidi Phillipson, yeah. She was in the movie. She said she was coming. So there's a lot of secondary characters of people that we cast here in the Hudson Valley that I'm sure will show up and be on the scene.
This sounds fascinating. Again, folks, 7 p.m. this Friday at the Saugerties Performing Arts Factory. That's SPAF to you. This Friday, the 14th, 7 p.m., the film Thirsty. I'm talking with director Margot Pelletier. I keep wanting to say Pelletier.
That's
the right way.
It's Pelletier.
Pelletier.
And you got it. You finally got it.
All right. Pelletier. And Lisa Thomas, producer. This is very fascinating. I do have this promo. I'm wondering if I should play it. I should ask your permission first before I do.
Oh, but that's very old.
It's very old. It's only a few minutes long. And
you can totally play it if you want to play the audio. Can I say one thing? The Saugerties Performing Arts Factory, for those who have never been there, is located at 169 Ulster Avenue, right off the exit 20 off the interstate. So if you've never been there, you just get off the exit and shoot down like you're going towards Saugerties, and it's almost across from the Price Chopper. So it's very easy to find.
And again, you can also go to woodstockfilmfestival.com for more information on the weekend. Sounds like it's going to be incredible. And maybe I'll play this little film program. It's kind of old.
This is old. This is a promo that we did when we were raising money, but go for it because the audio is interesting nevertheless.
Yeah, YouTube is an amazing thing. I was just trying to look into the film Thirsty and trying to do a little bit of research before this show. I usually scramble at the very end, and it came up Thirsty film promo by Lisa Thomas posted, of all people.
Yes. That was me. I shot that years ago with Jonathan Fermansky, who's gone on to do Amy Schumer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. As the DP.
And I think that the audio, if I'm not mistaken, it's narrated by Scott, right?
Yeah. So you'll get a sense of it.
Let's... is something that I put together through hours and hours of interviews. So
amazing.
It sounds like it's continuous, but it's a lot of excerpts. But yeah, it'll tell you a lot about Scott.
Well, here's a little taste of what's to come this Friday at 7. Here's the Thirsty
Scared a lot.
Film promo.
Never felt comfortable in my own skin. Always looked feminine. Always very thin. Didn't dress up like a girl when I was a little boy. Never snuck into my mom's closet because I wanted to be just the opposite. I was already a pretty girl. I wanted to protect my family and not get stabbed. I was doing drama and singing, and they'd pull me out of class to sing. You know, my prince would be like, Scott Townsend to the office. And I go up and I'm like, what? She's like, will you sing People by Barbara Streisand? I'm like, I'm in math. She's like, I don't care. I was in that period where I didn't want to be called a girl. I used to hide my dolls under the bed and cut my eyelashes off so they weren't long. I just don't want to be you anymore.
Hi, guys.
It's Thirsty Burlington.
How are you?
Oh, my God. Can I touch you?
Touch me.
Oh, please.
You're terrified every night. And you usually get over it after the first few numbers. But because I'm changing characters, it's almost like I start over. I fought all my life not to fit into this female role, and now I'm making a living impersonating women? Does having a briefcase make you a man? Or can you be a man wearing a wig and a dress? You have to have that little wink in your eye that it's okay, you're just at a drag show, you don't have to take me so seriously, I know I'm a really a man.
Facade.
Oh, yeah.
Under this, I'm like a large black man.
Cher, she came naturally to me. Her voice came out of me easily. I just kind of had it. I think I'm going to have to take over when she dies. So I'm just going to have to do it. I think that's what female impersonation is. It's like your favorite movie star never has to die. So you never have to lose anyone. It's like living forever.
When he sets you free, just the way that you
there you have it. This Friday, 7 p.m.
7 p.m. You get to be the first in the Hudson Valley to see Thirsty the movie and Thirsty performing live on stage.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much for coming in, and you're always welcome. Whenever you want to make a movie and then come in and talk about it with me.
You'll always give us a spot?
Absolutely. My door's open.
Oh, thank you,
give
Karen.
Us a couple years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of work. I imagine. I don't know how you pull it off, but thank you.
Thanks for having
you.
Us. We so
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
So this Friday, 7 p.m. at the Saugerties Performing Arts Factory as part of the Woodstock Film Festival, the movie Thirsty. My guests, Lisa Thomas and director Margot Pelletier. So glad to have you with us on this Indigenous Peoples Day.
Thank you.
All right.